It does real investigative work, which isn't allowed in this country. So she eventually culminated with her work on TWA Flight 800, which we're going to discuss mostly because this is the 20th anniversary. But her first book was Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Exposed the Myth of Free Press. She wrote a follow-up, Feet to the Fire, The Media After 9/11, Top Journalists Speak Out. And as I mentioned, in 2013, she released the documentary TWA Flight 800, and this is the 20th anniversary of that. So, Christina, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be with you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I think the music was just fading now, so I hope you guys heard the introduction because the clock is off, too, that I'm reading. So this is just frustrating. I'm glad Christina's understanding, but so I wanted to, you know, discuss because it is the 20th anniversary, you know, of 9/11 and of TWA Flight 800 as well. So go a little bit over into your history. Okay, they're asking me who the guest is. Christina Borgeson, who I introduced, but I guess my music was still playing because the clock isn't working here either. So Christina Borgeson, you can look her up. She has a real nice resume, but we're going to talk about what happened to her. So discuss how people like you, how you ended up. I mean, I think you went to Columbia University. You did all the right things. You went through you were kind of on track to become, Woodward and Bernstein type, I guess. But what happened when you went into this field? And you do a couple documentaries that are Emmy nominated and everything. Talk about that, and then the transition to where you enter my world, which is the rabbit holes and corruption everywhere. How does that work?
Well, it just like Cheryl, I was called in, and after TWA crashed, and I'll tell you something. Before when the plane crashed, I had just finished. The year before, I had won an Emmy for investigative reporting. It was my first year at CBS, and boom, I won the Emmy. Then my second year, I was nominated for an Emmy, so I was like the golden child in the doc unit. And that plane, and I remember we had just finished the Fidel doc. It was a documentary on Fidel Castro, the second one. And I was at home taking a nap. And the phone rang, and the neighbor said to me, "Was that your son's plane that just went down?" Because I had put my son on Air France, to Paris, which is where TWA was going, on Air France to Paris, and that plane was 5 minutes behind TWA 800. And I can't. Speaking about it, I remember that feeling like somebody had poured hot oil all over my body.
Oh, I bet.
And I started dry heaving, and I turned, and I remember my husband, who's French, you know, the French are kind of obnoxious sometimes, very arrogant about their stuff. And my husband had said, you know, Air France is more expensive, but it's a much better airline. It's run by the French. I'm not going to put him on TWA. And that is what saved my son's life. But I knew exactly what the victim's family members felt at that moment because I went through it. And I went into work at CBS. And because I was the golden child investigative reporting, Christina, we're putting you on this investigation. First thing that happened is I started hearing, I was working with CBS's law enforcement consultant, who was an NYPD bomb squad guy, and he was talking to the NYPD divers who were sent out there a week after explosive ordnance disposal people from Fort Monmouth had been sent out there. And the NYPD guys were very suspicious because they said, you know, we weren't allowed to dive with those guys. And when we did finally go in to dive, it was very prescribed. So they were very suspicious, and the eyewitnesses were saying something hit the plane, blah, blah, blah. You asked me about Jim Sanders, whose wife was a trainer. She worked for TWA, and she trained airline hostesses. And she was the one who was saying the word was getting around that something had hit the plane. And so Sanders got a piece of evidence, this piece of seat foam that had this red spray on it.
Now, this is James Sanders.
Correct.
Who is James Sanders?
Is a former cop who became an investigative reporter because of what his wife was experiencing right after the crash. Everybody was saying something hit the plane. There was all this hush-hush going on. he got very suspicious, and he actually befriended somebody who was part of the official investigation, a guy named Terrell Stacey. And Terrell Stacey sent him this piece of seat foam with red stuff on it. And Sanders said he tested it, and it tested positive for some kind of explosive residue. And so Sanders, who I had met, I can't remember now how I met him, but he called me and asked me if I wanted this stuff. And I said, absolutely, I want it. But I had to go. Obviously, at that point, I was between documentaries, so I was floating a floater for 60 Minutes. So I went to the 60 Minutes producer, Josh, and I said, hey, should I accept this? You know, there's a grand jury out there that's pulling people in for taking stuff out of the official investigation. Should I accept this piece of evidence? He goes, oh, yeah, we've dealt with them before. Ha! Well, that's when the boat of fate came to my door, because it was FedEx to me. The FBI was surveilling Jim. They knew about the FedEx. I took the seat foam and I put it in my drawer, waiting for it to be, I was looking for a lab to test the stuff. FBI came. And next thing I know, my boss calls me up. Oh, Christina, the FBI says you have stolen something from the official investigation. They want to drag you before the grand jury. I said, I stole nothing. I said, this stuff was sent to me. And I said, not only that, but anybody who's an investigator inside that the official investigation, they are allowed to give evidence for testing to anybody legally. So the FBI lied to CBS, but CBS gave it right back, much to my disappointment. And a few weeks later, I was given my walking papers.
Boy.
And between the time that, you know, this happened and I left, my cootie factor soared. Okay, because the other thing I had done was I did an interview with Jim Sanders. I brought him in and I interviewed him, and he talked about how he had done this testing and who he was and so on and so forth. And boy, a call came in from Washington to the CBS News, executive producer for the news, because it was going to be on the news, saying, you will not air this thing. And then, of course, but that was before, you know.
But Sanders' interest was that his wife was a TWA employee, was it?
She was a TWA employee.
Okay.
She trained airline hostesses, and okay, I so think she had been one herself. Yeah.
So she had invested. She knew some of the people probably, and so yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, there was incredible buzz.
Yeah,
within the TWA community, and you have to understand the TWA community—they call themselves a family. That was a very tight corporate culture. It's nothing like like corporate culture is today.
Yeah.
These people were very tight, and they looked after each other, and so they knew something was wrong right away. And I was telling the CBS people that the law enforcement, Paul Raganese, law enforcement consultant, was telling me they think that a missile hit that plane. And that's what all these eyewitnesses were describing. Okay. So when I lost my job, because I got that piece of evidence that I was never able to, I can't explain to you what that was like for me. I mean, I grew up in Papa Doc's Haiti. Okay. I grew up under a real live dictatorship. So I went to the best school in this country for journalism. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven when I got to CBS. And when this happened, it was such a shift in paradigm. I just can't even describe it to you. So I curled up in a little ball for a few days. And then I was getting calls from everywhere, from Japan, from Europe. Everybody wanted me to talk about it because somebody at CBS had spread the word that, oh yes, Christina had gotten fired for talking about a missile hitting the plane for getting this evidence, okay? And I just could not talk to anybody. I simply could not. I just couldn't take. And then after a while, you know what happens. I was just complete. I was, to be nice about it, angry.
You probably were terribly disillusioned too. I'm sure you didn't start out as a conspiracy guy like me, so you probably were shocked that I tried to. Why wasn't CBS? What about Edward R. Murrow? What's going on here?
Well, you know, it's very interesting you say that, because I won the Edward R. Murrow Award eventually for my book, talking about, in which I wrote Into the Buzzsaw, in which I wrote an essay about what happened to me. But, you know, Edward R. Murrow, he's a big hero, okay, that CBS claims. But they hounded him to death for the truth he was telling inside CBS, for the truth he was telling about McCarthy. Did you know that? People don't know that.
No, I didn't know. It was certainly the same.
You know, he's our hero. He went up against McCarthy, this and that. People don't know what the real story is. They don't know that they persecuted him inside that corporation for speaking out like that and reporting on him, you know? And so in my case, of course, I was not Edward R. Murrow. I had just arrived. So anyway, after that, I got really upset. I was frankly pissed. That's not an elegant word. But that's exactly how, and I was like, no, I'm not going to take this line down. This is not right. And the American people need to know. And thus began my adventure, first with Kelly O'Meara, who was the chief of staff for the congressman in whose.
Yes. She was, didn't she work, wasn't she associated with Washington Times magazine too or something?
But that was after.
She's another one that did some. What happened to her? Did she lose her?
She lost her job.
She was
working for Forbes. I can't remember his name. Is it Forbes? No, let me not say. I can't remember. He was the Republican representative of the area in which the plane went down.
Okay.
And she was chief of staff for him. And she was getting the same messages here and there from people that something hit the plane and so on and so forth. And at one point she reached out to me and I was like, are you kidding? I'm not talking to that person. Are you, you know, cause I was thinking, you know, this must, but I finally spoke to her and I realized that she was an honest boy. This woman was straight as arrow. And we started working together and we both, the funniest thing that happened to us is we managed to get an official tour through, you know, her boss's office. The TWA of the wreckage, and the tour was cut short because I asked one too many questions, and then when they realized who I was, they cut the tour short, and they ushered us out of there. And then her boss got an angry call from the FBI. What are you doing bringing this journalist in? And blah, blah, blah. And it was like, what journalist? I had no credentials from anybody at that point. But we worked together. And then I met Tom Stalkup, the physicist.
Yes.
Who was sitting on a couch watching the news. And he was listening to the details. And he was going, you know, something is not scientifically logical about what's going on. He started looking into it. He started calling witnesses on his own. And then he realized something fishy was going on too. And that's when we started also working together. And years and years and years went by. I became completely blackballed and unemployable. Ended up working, trying to do shows like Sex with Cindy Crawford for ABC Entertainment.
Doing investigative work there?
we were investigating America's sex life.
Oh, okay.
And the funny thing about that, if you want a little side, you know, a side ha-ha, you know, one of these people that, Cindy, of course, very professional, beautiful woman, great businesswoman, highly respected, but you know, she was the talent to be treated like the Queen of Sheba. And so anyway, I was directing a shoot with a with a she was a hormone expert, and the hormone expert said, well, how should I talk to her and this and that? And so I said, well, you know, Cindy, she's not 100% comfortable as a correspondent. So, you know, when she asks you a question, ask her a question back, you know, kind of do the Jesuit thing, you know, so that you can get an exchange going. And so the first thing this woman says to her when Cindy asks her a question is, well, has your husband found your G-spot yet? And that was like very disrespectful. And I almost lost my job because it was my fault. But anyway, so that was my,
there are questions coming for you in the chat room. I know we're going to get to it, but did you see yourself or know of media folks that saw one of the various, and this, you know, the missile videos that CNN and MSNBC got Pierre Salinger in trouble? You know, I'm sure you know.
Pierre Salinger, the interesting thing about Pierre Salinger was he was definitely on the right track. He got his information from French intelligence. But the problem was when he ran out there and just waved this piece of paper around, he put himself out there for a world of hurt. Because if you can't show some kind of documented proof that, A, here's the document, the original document that I got from XYZ of French intelligence, then, you know, they're going to set you up as a liar, a fake, a this and that. He was destroyed. And that's why when we did our film, you'll notice our film, we do not have any theories about what happened to the, who did it, okay, who did it. We looked at the forensic evidence using, by the way, the same investigators that the government used. Okay, these are all whistleblowers from inside the government using the same witnesses, everything. And we put those pieces together, and that's what our show is. And people were very upset that we didn't point the finger at somebody. But I have experienced it before, and I've seen it before. You know, if you don't tie your evidence up six ways to Sunday and back it up, you know, on these big stories, you're in for discrediting that last your.
Well, I want to say just briefly what I because I don't, you know, people call me a conspiracy theorist. That's their, you know, that's their, you know, label,
you know,
for anyone.
You know, that's a CIA.
Exactly.
Term.
It comes from the 67 memo.
If somebody calls you a conspiracy theorist, just laugh it off. Because
I do. I mean, Gore Vidal had a great answer. He said, I'm a conspiracy analyst. And that's what I am. These people are conspirators. This is what they do. They don't know any other way to do things. They conspire.
I could write the book on cover-up techniques now. I've looked into enough big stories.
I bet you could. But I think in this case, I don't theorize, but I think the only explanation that makes sense for TWA Flight 800 is that what we know is happening, the Navy having exercises in that area, that it was an accident. I don't think they went into cover-up mode because, I mean, it's pretty hard to explain, oops, you know, we shot down a plane. I mean, I think that's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, I have very little regard for the people that run this country, and I think there's almost nothing that I put past them.
Okay, this is what I'll say about that.
Yeah.
I will say about that Tom Stalkup has continued to pursue information through FOIA and through the courts on what happened. And he has very recently had a breakthrough that I am not at liberty to discuss. It's a big one. And people will not have to speculate as much about what happened or who did it, okay? And one thing I will agree with you on is that the cover-up become, in many cases, in these big stories, the cover-up is the crime. The cover-up is the crime.
Yeah.
because people are protecting enormous budgets, enormous amounts of money that are put in various places, lots of jobs, people in powerful positions having jobs and big budgets and so on. And so, yeah, I mean, now what's happened in this country, and again, for me, what has been as hellish as the TWA 800 experience has been for me, the great gift it has given me is I can see right away through all the tactic, the propaganda, how the media handles information and lies when it comes to big stories, when there's a cover-up in progress. I see it. It's clear as day. There is a roadmap that is always followed. It's the same roadmap. You know, humans, they're wired for patterns, for pattern making, for, you know, and discerning patterns and creating patterns. And that's the great gift that this thing destroyed me financially. For a while, it destroyed me emotionally, but that's the great gift that I have received from living with this thing for so long.
Well, there's a couple more related questions in the chat room. Have you talked to, I'll give them both to you. Have you talked to Jack Cashel about the $50,000 bidding war for the tape? And have you talked with Larry Garrison, who had the missile tape, as well as an unobstructed 9/11 Pentagon video?
No, I have not spoken to either of those people. I'll tell you what, after I have to explain to you that film that we did, that documentary, was the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. I cannot explain to you how hard, when you are trying to do something that big and you're looking for the money and you don't have, I mean, literally we started with Tom calling me up and telling me, listen, let's just go interview a few people. I said, Tom, I've been broke for a million years. I said, I can't do this anymore. No. I'm going to pay you. And of course, you know, I think I got paid a couple thousand dollars or something. And then we ran out of money. But it was like, you know, when they say this Sicilian thing, this TWA thing, I got sucked into it again. But we managed to get some money from Epics. But we still needed, we blew up an airplane wing to get the evidence, to recreate the evidence. We did stuff that nobody had ever done, you know? Mm-hmm. And Tom Stalkup was utterly brilliant because he really had figured it all out. Because, you know, when you're doing an investigation, if you're an investigative reporter, and investigators all over the world will tell you this, if you study something hard enough, and when I say that, what I mean is, you're not just every day, you know, turning on your computer and investigating something. You've got a scanner going on in the back of your head 24/7. You reach a point, and I can't explain to it, and I think this is what great meditators, what happens to great meditators. All of a sudden, the whole landscape becomes very clear to you. It just, all of a sudden, you see all the pieces. And that's what happens. But the work, the energy, I can't even describe it to you, that it takes to get there is extremely intense. And after that film aired, then we had to deal with the attacks. And I think we did it in a way that nobody else did. And it really had an amazing effect. What we did was every time anyone of consequence wrote an article or did a TV package that lied about the evidence that we presented in our film or lied about our film or disparaged our film or tried to discredit it, we would respond, do a point by point rebuttal of that journalist's work. And then we would send that rebuttal to the journalist, to their boss, and then we would post it on our website, twa800.com. And let me tell you something, that stopped a lot of people cold. It stopped a lot of people cold. And, you know, we had things like the New York Times. They did something strategic. They had their film guy. We wanted the science reporters to review the film, but they had their film guy do it. Oh, you know, who doesn't know anything about the evidence? When we asked their science reporter to do it, he said, oh, I don't have the expertise to assess what you've presented here. And I thought to myself, oh, that's so interesting. Y'all had the expertise way back when, apparently, when you were, you know, misreporting everything after the crash. Now all of a sudden, and if you're a reporter, if you don't have the expertise, but you're the science reporter, you should know where to get it. And you should go and find your expert and have your expert tell you what's what. But no.
Okay, the music is starting. I've told the chat room, so we have to take a break. We'll be right back after these words, which Christina and I will not hear, but you will. Okay, well, I hope we're back. I hope the music has faded now. Again, I apologize to Christina and the audience. Okay, now they're telling me to speak now. So we'll be back with iProtest. And that really is, I'm lost without my music. You didn't get to hear John Lennon's Give Me Some Truth, Christina. So that's that always brings a reaction from people. One of his lesser played songs, All I Want Is Some Truth. So anyway, I think we missed a couple questions here in the chat. I want to get to you first. Okay.
Those videos, by the way, mm-hmm. You know, while we were doing the film, we tried to track them down and could not. But, you know, here's something I'm going to say. That is one of the big disappointments when you're doing an investigation like this on a big issue that's very sensitive. People say, oh, I have this information. I have this. I have that. I have the other. And, you know, but I can't, you know, it's a person I know. He doesn't want to come forward. It's like, listen, if you have this thing, it's a piece of evidence. People have been suffering, victims' family. I can tell you stories about what happened to some of these victims' family members because of these crashes. You know, terrible, terrible stories. Just come forward with the damn videos, you know. Don't make me have to track you down and this and that.
Yeah.
Be a human being, you know. That's my message to these people. If you have the tape, be a human being. Put it out.
Sure. Yeah, we'd all love to see it. Has Christina talked with Ian Goddard? Well, I know we talked about him. Ian Goddard, General Ben Parton, or Marshall Houston?
Ian Goddard, we were in touch with from time to time, you know. The other two know. And let me explain something to you. The best way to do an investigative report is to go after your firsthand sources. Okay? If you can go after someone who has either handled the evidence and has the expertise to assess it, or, you know, somebody who has, you know, seen it with their own eyes or whatever. But for us, it was the people who actually handled the evidence. Who, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I got them. You know, I got an email or a memo that came down the pike that, well, where's the memo? Well, you know, no, we just, that's why our show is a whistleblower show. Okay. It's got the people who are inside the investigation who handled that stuff, telling their stories. Okay. And that's why the film is unassailable, really, because who knows better than those people?
Absolutely. Well, you have, and there's so many. I don't know if you've heard this, but I'm trying to track down more information about it. Have you heard of Jeremy Crocker? He's the researcher that disappeared from the LA Public Library after telling a radio host he got a copy of the video.
Again, I mean, you know, you hear these things, and again, for me, it's that goes into, yes, that's very interesting file, but you know, when you're doing an investigation, particularly if, you know, in my case, working on that film, I had a specific budget, okay?
Right.
And I had a specific amount of time I had to deliver this film. Get me those firsthand sources. Get me that evidence, that hard forensic evidence. Get me, and that's it. If you have something, let me just put it out there, okay? Anybody who has anything of hard forensic value, hard evidence or something of hard forensic value, just send it to Tom Stalka. Let's not play any more games. Let's stop it. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to know about you heard this or you heard that. You know, you get people are sent down 20 million rabbit holes. And if I sound annoyed, I'm sorry, because I have to tell you, I love the people who still care about this. I love them, each and every one of them. I love them all. And I love particularly to the families of the victims who have suffered all these years. So this is just me being grumpy.
No, I understand.
I can't explain to you how much energy this work takes. It takes a lot of energy. And sometimes it makes you grumpy. But let me tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story because Oliver Stone right now is big in the news, right?
Yes,
he's over there.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
You know, the boat of fate, of course, came to him with the JFK assassination, right? Just like it came for me with TWA. But Oliver was involved in TWA too. I don't know
if
people know that.
Yes, yeah, the documentary was pulled at the last second, wasn't it?
It's bigger than
that. Or never aired. Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's what's interesting. So he's put out his ultimate, you know, JFK doc. But there's an even more interesting doc that's going to come out, apparently, which is his experience living, you know, the hell he went through because of looking at the JFK assassination. And the reason why, and I'm very interested in that, is because my story with him was that an executive producer came to me and said, Oliver Stone is going to do, he's going to be narrate, he created, and he's going to be the narrator, or the you know, face talent for this thing called Declassified. And it's going to be like an edgier 60 Minutes, but on the entertainment side. It's going to be the same hard investigation, but it's going to be on the entertainment side with Oliver as the host. And he goes, we want you to do a story on TWA for the pilot. And I was like, I had just done Sex with Cindy, which I was still, you know, super grumpy about that. And I was like, what the hell makes you think I can tell the truth about TWA? Oh, consider this a rip in reality. And I was like, what? But I don't know why, again, get sucked into it with Kelly O'Meara, Kelly and I. And now understand, this was just going to be like a 10-minute segment, okay? And what happened was so bizarre. Kelly and I went to New York. And as we were setting up this eyewitness shoot, a group eyewitness shoot, our car at night, very professional job, was broken into. Now, she had golf clubs in there, camera in there, her computer, and TWA docs. The only things that were taken were her computer and the TWA docs. And, you know, that was it. Next thing that happens right after that is in Newsweek's Periscope, somebody writes a nasty piece about how conspiracy crank Oliver Stone is doing a show on how a missile hit TWA 800. Now, that was interesting. Because Kelly and I were going to interview these eyewitnesses, but we had barely interviewed anybody. I mean, this was going to be like practically our first shoot. So these people knew before we did what our show was about. So I wrote to Periscope and I said, you know, this is a nasty little piece. And I'll tell you what, Oliver Stone is not producing this piece. I am producing this piece. My name is Christina Borgeson. I don't give a damn what Oliver Stone thinks about, you know, TWA. And I'm sure he doesn't care that I don't give a damn that about what he knows about TWA, because that's not why he hired me. He hired me because I'm an investigative reporter who knows something about this subject. Anyway, and then a few days after that, there was an article, nasty article, in the New York Times. And then Time Magazine, all of a sudden, in mainstream journalism, there were all these nasty articles about crazy Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh wow, this is how it works. This is how it works.
It does look like a coordinated effort.
Completely coordinated. And then we get a call. Oh, you guys, you need to stand down. We're like, what? Oh yes, you need to stand down. We stood down. And of course, not just the TWA show was crushed. The entire thing, the pilot, the idea, everything was shut down. And Oliver Stone, okay, who went through hell and high water for JFK, told the executive producer about this incident. He said, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to me professionally.
Well, but didn't Oliver actually have a TWA documentary that was supposed to air on the Discovery Channel or something, that and they never showed it, or Showtime or something? I thought he actually had it completed.
As a matter of fact, I think he was. He had to sign certain documents to get his money for this, and to get his, you know, like, because, you know, the thing was green lit, then he was supposed to get a certain amount of money. And I'm not so sure, again, I don't know, but I'm not so sure that a gag thing was not part of that. In other words, you will not discuss TWA anymore in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense. You must have an opinion on James Carlstrom, who was right in front and center of this.
He
just died last week or so. And then he became the darling of Fox News and was praised for being honest. Well, how did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you about Jim Carlstrom. Jim Carlstrom, his boat of fate, let's put it that way, was a little more intense than mine. Because his boat of fate was essentially, you're going to shut down this missile explosives line of investigation, because he talked about it at the outset. But his thing was, this is going to go away. And you're going to, because you're in charge of the investigation, you're going to announce that. And sure enough, what did he do? What did he do? The same people who talk about the conspiracy theory of TWA, that would be the CIA. The CIA produced a video purporting to show what the eyewitnesses saw.
Yeah.
And you know what they did? Now, and you know, they're not that great. You know, they're not that sophisticated. What they did was they used eyewitnesses. No, not even eyewitness. They're called sound witnesses because they looked up when they heard a sound. But by the time they heard a sound, the initiating event was already over because it takes time for sound to travel. So they didn't talk to any of the witnesses who saw something go up and hit the plane, because there were plenty of those. Okay, they didn't talk to them. They talked to them. That's the first thing they did. And then they wrapped it all up in a bow by saying, oh yeah, it was an optical illusion. These hundreds of eyewitnesses, they thought they saw something going up, but what they saw was fire coming down. Now, if you want to see our point-by-point rebuttal of this cartoon that then Carlstrom took and presented to the public as, here is the evidence why the eyewitnesses, because the thing that they really had to get rid of was the eyewitnesses. The eyewitnesses, they had to get rid of them. Anyway, it's on YouTube. You can go see it. You know, rebuttal of CIA video regarding TWA Flight 800. You can see that on. But not only did that happen, but then Tenet wrote to Kalsham and said, Tenet wrote to the NTSB and said, that would Tenet CIA, right? Head of CIA said, you can't have those eyewitnesses at your Sunshine hearing figuring out, talking about the evidence of, you know, pertaining to what happened to TWA. They told that to the NTSB, and the NTSB did not allow, this is the first time in the history of an aviation accident that no eyewitnesses were allowed to speak at the hearing. So, you know, there's so much criminality involved in the cover-up, you know, and also, I mean, just a complete destruction of the legal fabric that is supposed to protect the public from government corruption. And let me tell you something. When something that big happens, just like it happened, by the way, with the abandoned POWs, what happens is they realize these agencies, they are like nations unto themselves. They're there to protect themselves first before they serve the people. And as a result, every time they get away with it, they get away with bigger and bigger and bigger malfeasance, crimes, et cetera. And that's why we're where we are today. And so, you know, that's why in the end, I created this platform for whistleblowers because whistleblowers are the last of the truth tellers in society right now. Journalists aren't doing it.
No, and whistleblowers has never been more unpopular either. I mean, geez, I interview so many of these people, and I find, I'm sure you must know this as well, that the common denominator is that they just do this out of pure courage, or because they get nothing out of it. They're ostracized, and most of the time their families reject them. I haven't failed a whistleblower yet that was supported by their own family. Have you?
You know, well, I actually was.
Well, that's great. Good for you.
But I'll tell you, this Italian philosopher whose name I cannot remember right now, he said something so interesting, and it was quoted in this book by this Italian journalist called Roberto Saviano, who wrote this book, Gomorra, talking about the mafia control of everything in Italy, basically. I mean, and this is a guy who now, he's a journalist who now travels around with his own state paid for bodyguards 24/7 because of what he revealed in his book. Okay, this is a guy who's brave. But anyway, he quoted this philosopher who said, people do not hate the men who do evil. They hate the men who, wait a minute, who expose it or something like that. It's like they don't hate them. They don't necessarily
kill the messenger. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's true. And the reason being, and I think about Daniel Ellsberg Jesus, what Daniel Ellsberg did was so amazing. So he went up against the Pentagon, for God's sake. Okay. I can't explain. He just said, look, because you know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is. I'll tell you what whistleblowers really have that, and I've said it before and it sounds so sappy, but if you really love and feel connected to everybody else, then it's like your own family is taking a hit, you know? And in my case, it was almost my family. So I think that of course has informed my interest, but also inspired me to put all my energy into this, you know, but really it's not just that we're saying this to go to hold these criminals accountable, trying to get these, this is for the good of our entire nation, for the world. If we're not better than this, then we are doomed to all go down.
And what is the point of, you know, I use it all the time. What I like to say is that the only difference between TASS and Pravda at the height of the Soviet Union and our mainstream media today is that the Soviet citizens were smart enough to realize it was state-controlled media. I don't think, with very few exceptions, and you're not in the mainstream media anymore, neither is the Cheryl Atkinson, Matt Taibbi, I guess at Rolling Stone, if you call it, but to some extent, but what do we not have, there's no investigative journalism allowed of certain subjects, especially.
Well, yes, and that's when there are powerful interests, corporate or government. Yeah. And Jim, let's get back to Jim Kallstrom, though.
Yeah.
Jim Kallstrom's an interesting guy, and I'll tell you why. I think what happened to him was, you're going to do this or else. Okay, because what did he use? He used the CIA video, okay, to lie to people. And he did this even though three things. The guy was a Marine, he was a Catholic, and his friends, his one of his closest friends' wives died on that plane. And yet he still did it. So I think he feared for his life. But he got, what he got was the, I think, the what they call in Spanish, the plata o plomo. You take the silver or you take the lead. And he did get the silver. He got the silver. You know Paul Raganese, the CBS law enforcement consultant? Mm-hmm. He was kicked out after I was kicked out. And guess who he was replaced by?
Kallstrom?
Yes. Also, Kallstrom, when he retired, do you think he just lived off of his little, you know, FBI? No, he got a big job as a security expert for a bank. I'll tell you, if you look at some of these people who have been in trouble or been these FBI, a lot of these FBI folks, a lot of these people in the intelligence community who have done some bad stuff, but they've done it in service of powers that be, engaging in major malfeasance or construction. They always end up in these security positions, high level security at banks for some reason. There seems to be a pattern of that, okay? Kallstrom was no different. And I'll never forget when I was on a show with Kallstrom, we were talking about our film, and Kallstrom was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, he was trying to discredit the film, but weakly, even though, by the way, we asked him for an interview, and he was, oh, I can't, I'd do it, but I'm sick. Well, he wasn't sick enough to go on this Fox show with me and, you know, lie. But at one point he said, and I'll bet my meager FBI pension check, XXX, and I can't even explain to you. I just sat there still like a piece of wood because it just pressed such a big red button, you know, because I knew that he had been paid off, and he had been paid off big time.
Compare that to the pension checks of 80% of the American people who don't have any pensions anymore.
Well, exactly. So, you know, he's gone now, and, you know, people will say, oh, may his soul rest in peace. But I don't think his soul should rest in peace until somehow, maybe from the other side, he does something about this situation, because it's still a situation.
Well, we're running out of time real quick, Christina. We're going over so much stuff. I want to give you the last couple minutes to go over whatever you want to promote. Tell the people whatever it is you're talking about, your documentary, your books, whatever you want to promote. It's up. It's yours.
Well, actually, I would love for people to. I have a TV, a radio podcast show. It's on the Progressive Radio Network, but it's also the stuff that cannot air on YouTube is on BitChute. If you go to BitChute and you just put in the Whistleblower Newsroom, all run in one long line, you'll come across my reporting. It's mostly on the COVID situation. But on YouTube, there's lots of interviews with lots of different people, and that's just the Whistleblower Newsroom. That's what I'm doing right now. And, you know, if anybody has any ideas for people that they want me to interview, you can reach me at whistleblowernewsroom@gmail.com. www.thebeautyofmusic.com. If you want to read my books, you know, go on Amazon. My film, by the way, ran into some trouble in the distribution world. I can't talk about it, but basically it died after it got picked up by a huge distributor. That's all I'll say about that. But I'll just tell you that I'm very grateful to your audience and to anybody who is interested in these issues and cares enough to listen.
Well, that's wonderful. And I may be a good guest for you. I'm going to send you, I'm going to have my publicist send you a copy of Survival of the Riches, because okay. I think it'd be Naomi Wolf wrote the forward to the paperback. And it's the left has pretty much rejected it because they know about some of my other writings. So they don't, you know, they're all woke and everything. I'm a libertarian and a populist.
Listen, I don't care. I don't care about left. I don't care about right. I don't care about libertarian. I just care about the truth. Wherever Absolutely. It comes from. I don't care what wing it flies in on.
Absolutely. We get pigeonholed like that. And you need more, because I end up going, when I'm interviewed a lot, and I end up going on most of them were Q-type shows for that, because that they had big audiences and they wanted me. So it's like, I would love to go on Jimmy Dore. Jimmy Dore's publicist has Survival of the Richest. They haven't asked me on. And I don't know, what other shows are there?
People want to know. They know they're being lied to. They know they're being screwed. They know that, you know, the fabric of society, of this great country, is being torn apart by rapacious people, globally corrupt people. And they don't want to feel powerless.
Truth Frequency Radio is your...
Okay. Thank you very much, Bam. I appreciate it. The prompts. This is very frustrating. Without my music, I'm lost here. I go for the music, and the clock is not working either, really. My clock is off. So, at any rate, well, I hope we get some phone calls this hour. You guys know the numbers to call. Assuming the phones are working, 1-833-TFR-LIVE is the main way, or 213-233-3998. That UK line, which is, probably hopeless, but we'll give it out anyhow. 442-0-3-393-2871. Main way is 1-833-TFR-LIVE. So I love hearing from you. And I love your questions in the chat room. So it's been Chris and all the rest of you guys that asked it. It's wonderful. So anyway, so Christina, if you look up her resume, boy, Christina Bjornsson is really, she worked for CBS and CNN and PBS and I think she won Emmys for her documentary. So it's very mid. And those are the people that I'm really, that's why I love Cheryl Atkinson, because it's, of course they don't go as far as I would, and certainly as far as some of you would probably like, but they're open-minded and they actually are doing journalism. We don't have people in the mainstream media that do any journalism. They do, then they end up like Christina or Cheryl Atkinson. They end up being fired. And they wind up on on radio shows like this, where people, the rest of the establishment trolls, can roll their eyes and say, Jacob comes up with it. Don, do you like fish sticks? You ask Kanye West that question, will you? If you're not familiar, that's one of the classic South Park episodes before South Park gave into the medical industrial complex and put out that pathetic, I can't even look at them the same way. I really can't. It's just, when you look back at some of their unbelievable episodes, where some of the funniest stuff ever done, great on target satire, politically incorrect. And for them to do what they did, I mean, how do you possibly not have something about the vaccine after Trump, is out of office and Biden is and you literally don't even have Biden depicted. Certainly it's funny to have Mr. Garrison play Trump. Trump is easy to make fun of. He's a caricature. But Biden certainly would be too. Kamala Harris certainly would be. But that's the problem with the media is less, something like Saturday Night Live. If you had an honest writing staff at Saturday Night Live that were really interested in doing good humor, satire, you have so many walking caricatures out there that are just great comedic gold, comedy fodder. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters, Chuckie Schumer, Adam Schiff. I mean, these guys are the squad, AOC. I mean, these are, but of course they're untouchable. So we see the same stupid things where, you know, they have some female playing a male Republican or a male playing a female. I mean, it's just Trump over and over again. Chris says Trump is starting to use Ashley Babbitt to rile up the Q crowd. Yeah, okay, that's always. Well, you know, Jacob says, yeah, Psaki. Yeah, Jen Psaki. I mean, that, you know, really, you couldn't ridicule her more than Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who they had so much fun with. I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. Trump does what he always does, where he's now finally mentioned, dropped the Ashley Babbitt question, but is he complaining about why his supporters that he lured to D.C. under the pretext that, you know, maybe they were going to see Hillary do a perp walk, or they were finally going to, maybe he's going to finally reveal all those sealed indictments and arrests that we had been told had been happening. Nothing happened. He gave the same stupid camp rally speech that he does over and over again, where he just said, you know, nothing basically, but he gets, you know, gets his crowd excited, and they respond to prompts just like the Trump hating side does. Why doesn't he say something about that? All those people in that have been in jail for months. I mean, a lot of them, they could serve long sentences, and I see what they're doing. And it's, you know, I can't really criticize them too much for cucking out, because I don't know if I'd have principles to stick and, you know, be sentenced for 15 to 20 years. But basically, it's the Soviet show trial thing where if you apologize, I think one poor grandmother pathetically said she had been fooled by some books and read some absurd critical race theory type of nonsense state propaganda, and said she had, you know, been brainwashed. And I don't know. So she's probably going to get out of a sentence. So I don't know. I'd like to think I was more courageous, but I don't want to sit in prison either. The problem is that the people have no choice at this point. So Jacob says, Don, how do you like all these conservatives laying on Ben and Jerry's? Yeah. Well, Ben and Jerry's, I never thought I'd see Ben and Jerry. I mean, these are two high-profile Jews but it illustrates that the way the left, it's the most remarkable thing about today's politics is that the left has really turned on Israel, because for, you know, years you couldn't, any kind of criticism of Israel, AIPAC, Anti-Defamation League, would be after you, but it was mostly almost always on the right. Pat Buchanan, David Duke, people like that were criticizing Israel. No, almost no one outside of you have, you know, outliers like actress Vanessa Redgrave, people like that. But maybe a few people in Hollywood, I guess. But for the most part, the left loved Israel. And actually, you know, Muslims were demonized in a lot of movies. So I don't know when that transformation occurred, but there was a whole sea change occurred in politics, was suddenly now the left. And when you get to Ben and Jerry, I mean, you know, or, you know, boycotting Israel, whatever, I mean, or criticizing the Israeli treatment of the Palestinians. Okay, well, welcome to the party, I guess. But, and the conservatives now, again, who certainly from the time of neocons in the Reagan administration were pro-Israel, but you had outliers like Pat Buchanan, and most of the criticism of Israel came from the far right. Now, the entire Fox News is in the lie. I don't think you're going to... I don't know. I could be wrong, because Tucker Carlson surprises me all the time, but I don't think you're going to ever hear him criticize Israel. Certainly no one else at Fox News is. And so, it doesn't surprise me at all that they're – I'm sure they're not going to be buying Ben and Jerry's ice cream. That's for sure. Let's see. Oath Keepers plea bargains this month to admitting conspiracy. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They – I don't – but again, I can't, you know – I can criticize those people, but what would we do if we were in that situation? Do we, you know, you really want to spend years in prison because you went to a rally and Donald Trump threw you under the bus and said, I'll be marching with you, and then went back to the White House, disappeared, and instantly repudiated you and told you to go home? I don't know. All One says, comedians in the entertainment comedy, Faustian bargain sellouts, one at this time in history with so much to make fun of, and crickets is all the church. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This is never has the world been more ridiculous and spoofable than it is now. I mean, my old favorite show, SCTV, I don't know. I don't think they could be on the air now, but I don't know. They might disappoint me too. I mean, Catherine O'Hara was in, she was in that John Oliver promo, the entertainers who basically criticized naysayers on the pandemic and conspiracy theorists in general. So I don't know. Maybe they're all that way. Although I do know Dave Thomas, who was on SCTV. He was a friend of mine on Facebook for a while, and he ended up dramatically leaving Facebook. It really ticked because I love the guy, and it was he was obviously a JFK assassination critic because he mentioned Mark Lane and all these other books, and I was going to try to reach out to him, but then he's off Facebook now, so I don't have the ability to. I would love to talk to him though. But he was a tip, you know, he's a lefty. He hated Trump, but he had that kind of honesty to him, so it would have been interesting. But I don't know what the show like that would do if they were on today. Jacob says, what's with the flooding and weird weather all over the world? Well, I think that's – and we talked about this on my buddy Billy Ray. Isn't it? Billy Ray and Tony Arterburn and I have a – we do an Unplugged, America Unplugged show, and we were actually on Billy Ray's other show over there on FM – God, I keep forgetting – Aftermath FM the other night, and that came up. Billy Ray wanted to talk about the strange weather. I mean, I've said, you know, I think that the weather's geoengineered. Ever since HARP existed, the top secret weather technology, big complex in Alaska that they claim is closed. But, you know, Jesse Ventura had his conspiracy show on. He very memorably in an episode tried to enter. They wouldn't let him enter. What are they doing there? I don't think any good. I don't think that they're meeting in secret and not let the public in because they're trying to figure out a way to blow rain clouds over areas that are you know, with droughts, or blow, you know, hurricanes out to sea. I mean, if they were doing something like that, or maybe taking advantage of Nikola Tesla's discoveries back in the 1930s, where he supposedly invented an earthquake machine. The technology is there. I think they can control the weather to an alarming degree. But again, the people, as Bob Dylan said, the pump don't work because the vandals took the handles. The vandals took the handles a long time ago. And the people, you know, if you had good altruistic people that had weather modification technology, then you'd see some good things happen. Not as many people would be in drought areas, and not as much extreme weather would happen. But with all the technology we have, it's very curious that we're seeing more extreme weather than ever. Constantly, I've talked about, you know, as a kid, I never gave the weather a second thought, that I would be fearful of the weather at all. Never concerned me. Now it's fear porn all the time. You turn on that awful weather channel, oh God, it's nothing but nonstop fear porn. What category 5, you know, and all this, that's horrible. This record epic storm, you know, it's just ridiculous. And they get so excited on this. It's just, I don't know how anybody can watch that. The two suicided cops from the January 6th families riled up, Chris says. Yeah, send me some links on that, Chris, because I would like to know more about those. Those are the kind of people I'd love to have on the show. I did contact Ashley Babbitt's – who was Ashley Babbitt's lawyer at one point? And he got back to me and said, well, but he never – you know, and then he ended up being on Tucker Carlson, so I'm sure he has no interest in my show. I need to get the guys, the people that nobody's talking to, and then maybe they'll come on my show and nobody else wants them. Jacob says, I don't like their politics. So they're still under the Constitution. Sure. I mean, Ben and Jerry's politics are, you know, typical leftist stuff. That's why I'm shocked that I think they're on the right side here at once, because people ought to be concerned about the Israeli treatment of the Palestinians. But so the left is right on this one. And the right is, I think, very wrong. But again, they're all bought into the neocon nonsense. And I think the left is doing it because, again, that time that sea change took place, where suddenly Muslims became, instead of being demonized as they were to a pretty fair degree in Hollywood, they suddenly became right up. Certainly nobody's – blacks are number one, and then everybody else is below them. But they are – you can't criticize them now. And people can get in trouble for doing so. So for whatever reason, they became, and Palestinians, of course, benefited from that. So, you know, maybe something good will happen out of that, because the Palestinians did have their land stolen. They have been mistreated. Oh, one says weather warfare, biowarfare, censoring everything. Gosh, yeah, they sure are. But they just won't sell in the occupied territories. Okay, is that Jacob? Okay, well, yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but if they're concerned about the Palestinians, is all he spoke out. So, for once, you spoke out about something good. The birds have been behaving, Chris says, the weird to going spastic and just falling to the ground. Very odd stuff, like they're cooking alive or some such twilight zone. Oh, you hear? I remember hearing those stories back around 2000 where birds were falling out of the sky and dying and fish were coming up at it. This stuff seems to happen every once in a while. I don't know. So people, automatically think, oh, God, the end is nigh. And I don't know. It certainly seems like the end times are here in many ways. So I can't argue with that. But I don't I don't know. It certainly seems as if when you're looking out at things, and for somebody who's lived as long as I have, the world looks a lot differently. Even things like that, birds and wildlife and things like that. It just I was thinking the other day. I was asking my wife. I said, I haven't seen a single lightning bug or fireflies, whatever you want to call them, this summer. I mean, this is when I was a little kid, they were everywhere, and I'm still living in a very peaceful suburb, the kind of place they're trying to eliminate because we're racist or whatever we are. We're a vestige of America 1.0, and they want to eliminate all reminders of that, so you don't realize how much worse your quality of life is. But we live in a huge amount of woodland behind us and stuff, so we should have light, and we used to have lightning bugs here. I just noticed I haven't seen one. So I don't know. Maybe they're, the ecosystem, I think, is being affected, but not like they say, not from climate change. I don't know what's going on. But Jim Stone was talking about the birds dying recently. Word on the street is they're going to 25th Amendment Biden. Well, we'll see. I don't know. But I don't doubt anything at this point. Fish says there is a comedian left that does good satire. Lee Camp redacted tonight on RT. Yes, people talked to me about him. Yeah, I need to check him out. Chris says stand-up comedy is dead. RIP Carlin, Pryor, Hicks, Kaufman, Kinison, etc. PC, police wouldn't let these brave voices rise now. No, they wouldn't let any. I mean, Don Rickles. You think Don Rickles could be allowed today? It's Rodney Dangerfield. No, they would not allow any of these comedians. Jacob says it literally flash froze in Brazil and snowed in South Africa. Yeah, well, look what the freak storm in Texas. I mean, that was bizarre, beyond bizarre. Not to mention how it showcased our third world infrastructure where they couldn't keep the lights on. It's ridiculous. Weather weapons treaties. Yeah, the Harp book PDF is on archive.org. Oh, that's good. Thanks, Jacob. Let's check that out. Bam says, when does the U.S. care about treaties? Nah, treaty schmiedies. No, we don't care about that. Chris says, FBI opening and photographing regular innocent Americans, male in the 60s, especially truth seekers, whistleblowers. Absolutely, yeah. Let's see. I agree, Don. The Weather Channel sucks. Yeah, before they fired me from my own health system, before I became, one of the more unbelievable, incomprehensible victims of an unjust firing in a right-to-work state, we were in the new command center they built for us. They had a TV there, and it was set always to the stupid Weather Channel. So, and basically, they give us a choice: the Weather Channel or CNN. And I very strongly said, because of course, not that I didn't think the Weather Channel would be quite that bad, but I didn't regret that because I think CNN would have been worse. But so it was horrible. It was on all the time, and a lot of times we didn't have much work. So we're watching that stupid thing. God, oh, they were awful. But they were turned off for a reason because they know nobody's going to. You're actually wanting work to interrupt the stupid Weather Channel. See, boy, a lot of comments here. Babbitt's lawyer, yeah, I got his info on your way back. Terrell, yes, you did. Thank you, Chris. Terrell Rubs. Yeah. Where else would I have gotten it from? Yeah, so I actually contacted him and he said he might get back to me, but I haven't heard from them. Chinese are bad drivers and actors, Bam says. Okay. Oh, careful there. You're stereotyping. I mean, what makes you say that Asians are bad drivers? I don't know. Is that based on some kind of firsthand experience? Come on. Chris says, lots of January 6th Trump, Fauci, Sandy, Vegas, Parkland, Bono, waiting for you. Oh, yes, I know. And Chris, so, I'm writing Kid in History 3, and Chris is going to earn a special place in the acknowledgement because he is and I don't know where you find this stuff like this. I'm just really deep in Sandy Hook again because I had all that stuff was cleaned off the internet. I don't know where, but you found almost all of them. And to watch that again is, and I'm neglecting. I need to get back to JFK and some other things, but it's the Sandy Hook section is getting very long because I'd forgotten there's how much stuff was, you know, gold was there. I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is. I do appreciate that as I, you know, hope you understand. Chris said, remember when they said the killer African bees were going to come up and invade North America back in the 70s? Yeah. Well, look, even last year they talked about that. What was it? I posted on Facebook about back when I wasn't being shadow banned and I was getting lots of attention there. Well, there was some kind of super dangerous bee, but I was saying, like, you know, the whole time, the pandemic, everything, all this stuff, constant fear porn. Never heard any more about it. Weather manipulation, absolutely, bam. The ocean is on fire in certain areas, Chris says. Yeah, it's just, you know, crazy. Now they're talking about monkey pox and some fungus going around, Jacob says. Yeah, well, it's always something. It is, Emily Latella used to say, or Rosanna Dandy used to say, it's always something, you know. She would be perfect for now. Fear mongering is right. The Game Show Network sucks too. Down with the clowns, say Jack Woolery, Captain Kangaroo. Yeah, all the game. Well, at least they show game shows, but like if you watch the Biography Channel, which would be one of my favorite channels, the Biography Channel doesn't have any biographies. It's like, what, you know, there's that show Biography had a lot of good historical and literary biographies that I love to watch. They don't show them. If they, whatever biographies they show, it's like Britney Spears or Lady Gaga. I mean, it's, you know, something, somebody that's out now. It's ridiculous. Who wants to see that? That's stupid. And of course the History Channel is history free. It's basically American Pickers and nonsense like that. It used to be the Hitler Channel. It's not even the Hitler Channel anymore. It's just nonstop non-history. I don't know how you can call the History Channel that when they don't have any history. Let's see. Pam says, I see them every day with their terrible driving. Well, that's stereotyping though, man. That's true. Next, you'll say that black people play their music too loud. I mean, you know, we can come up with all kinds of stereotypes. Let's see. Chinese, hey, who knows, LOL. The acting goes without saying. Jake says, I think Fetzer has some Sandy stuck back up. You know, I've actually been debating about maybe trying to talk to Fetzer, but I don't know if I can handle it. He's so blustery and bombastic, and I don't think he'd let me get a word in edgewise, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that because I agree with a lot of his stuff, but he's so over the top. And I can't get past the fact that he has never acknowledged anything that I've written. You know, Hidden History came out in 2014. He's not once mentioned me anywhere that I can find. He's never contacted me. So I find that very curious, given the fact that I was his only defender back on the JFK assassination forums before he got banned from them all. Let's see. Chris says, close to the Fauci vaccine shielding connection. I can feel it. There you go. Murder hornets, Chris. That's it. Thank you. Droney's a great driver, but not Asian. Oh. Robofist says, I have a way of watching the Weather Channel over here in the UK. We sometimes watch the live hurricane reports. It's always funny when they're trying to stand up in the wind, yet people just walk around normally. Yeah, I mean, I think they've proven that that's – I mean, do they? We really think that – they are going to, you know, take one of these, you know, very pampered guys that are making $100,000 or more a year, six figures at least, and they're going to put – and what would be the point? I mean, wouldn't you run the risk of, you know, maybe that's great TV that one of your reporters will blow off in a hurricane or something? I've never understood that. What you thought – but that's journalism. You know, as Christina Bjornsson can talk about, you can't do real investigative journalism, but, you know, we'll put you in the center of a weather event and show the people how your hair is flowing. I mean, it's stupid, but that's the modern media. It's ridiculous. Dawkins has been banging Mrs. Garrison's monkey. Dawkins? Who's on the shirt? Let's see, more variants popping up soon. Vaccinated will need more untested crap. Chris said, yeah, well, the variants are everywhere. The variants, test the variants. drone-free zone says, I remember back when I was doing Uber, some think said something about Chinese when I was being heavy on the pedal because I couldn't stand the crappy group and wanted to get out there faster. So Chris says, an ancient aliens Nazi UFO channel, the history. Yeah, well, at least that's a little more, that's a little interesting at least. But, of course, Chris comes up with the Roseanne Rosetta Tana gift. That's great. Bam says, white people play it loud too. Well, yeah, some do, I guess. But, yes, I notice it more when they do it. Drone Free Zone says, black music people do play their music too loudly. Again, see, I'm generalizing, but I don't like to generalize. But you can generalize about white people. All white people have privilege. All white people. And that's all in my point is, okay, if you're going to do that, then we can play that game too. Okay? Because we can all make observations that are true often enough for people to be able to nod in appreciation. But certainly something like white privilege is not true often enough. It makes no sense. And you are denigrating an entire race. I wouldn't denigrate an entire race. Let's see. This is coming from a non-biased brown person, Don Friso says. Jacob says, no, Fetzer will let you talk. Watch his shows, and he usually has two. Okay, well, that's good. Okay, well, you'll see. It was a South Park reference. I didn't think you would read it on air. Hello, Jacob says, I just go over these things and read them all, probably. Bite the bullet, Don, and ask Fetzer about those Wayne Carver nights before Sandy shooting photos in his book, Chris says. Fascinating. And not in a sandbagging way like he did me. Yes, Fester always never supported you like he did. As awkward as that might be, maybe he's so oblivious he just never. It could be. I don't know. Who knows? He liked me back in the day. It's just very curious that I've, you know, my sixth book will be coming out. I have a couple of radio shows, and he hasn't acknowledged me. I don't know. I don't know who he has on his shows, but certainly you think he would have asked me back. Yeah, well, the white folks playing that crap frat music. Benefit of the doubt, devil's advocate. Maybe the old time country music. Now it's just got no soul. Okay, Bam says the Chinese aren't all bad drivers, but they all are bad actors. Well, I don't know about that. I probably haven't seen enough of them. But let me know when the music is coming up, Bam, please, or somebody. As I, you know, again, this clock says it should be, but the clock seems to be off. So, and again, I apologize to the audience out there that I can't take my prompts right. But you know, if I don't have music or some kind of cue and the clock's not exactly right, then there's nothing I can do about it. Music now, okay, thank. Okay, in my head, the song Jolly Coppers on Parade should have faded out. Thank you. And I timed it perfect. Thank you, Bam. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for letting me give me my cues. Shout out to the chat room, though. People have fled the chat room. It was fuller before, but thanks to Sophia the Bot. Lucky, good to see you here. Hopefully they can fix these problems, Lucky. With the same thing happening with the music and commercials, not being able to hear it. Bam 420, the former Bam. All One, Jacob B, Robofish, Chris Gray's and Amazing, and Drone Free Zone. Dead Air. No, don't tell me Dead Air. You can't. Oh, come on. You can't hear me? Oh, come on. Okay, I'm typing out in the chat. Answer me, please. You can hear. Okay, you do hear me. Okay, somebody said Dead Air, so I don't know. Oh, okay, I guess it was before I started talking. All right, I hope it ended that part. That's a problem. That's a golden oldie that I haven't had for a while. Well, that was something when I got knocked off the network. But anyhow, so we'll make the best of it. Again, that line, I'd still like to get some calls here. 1-833-TFR-LIVE, but it's possible that people are trying to call and they can't get through because I hear just about every week afterwards for somebody that said I tried to call and they couldn't. So I don't know what's going on with the phone lines, but at any rate, so yeah, we're you know, the stuff that's being brought up in the chat room, it's just it's just crazy stuff. And if you listen to me and Jeff Rentz every Monday, you know the kind of stuff we talk about. It's hard to get off the negativity, but it's impossible. How can you with the way things are? And I hope I know a couple of you, Chris and Jacob. At least I know you guys have been there in the chat room over at the Donald Jeffrey Show, which is airing on Ocelli.com every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. So I hope you guys will listen to that. We had Cindy Sheehan this past week. So at Richard Gage of Architects Engineers 9/11 for Truth, week before that. And, of course, my buddy John Barber, the first show. So you can call in there as well and chat there. So I hope you'll support that. And I do appreciate your support, and I appreciate the contributions of the chat room, because it does get a lot of times I play off you guys, because, you know, I'm sitting and there's so many things I could talk about, you know, that sometimes I don't know which way to go. And the chat room kind of steers me in various directions. But I would say that right now, again, we're I'm really, really bothered by the what's going on with these, if they have this committee and this commission, which is a joke, and to study the, you know, 1/6 and all that, that we already have so few liberties remaining, and this is going to crush what's left. And just to see somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who, again, you talk about comedy gold. You imagine what Saturday Night Live could do with Nancy Pelosi if they were actually honestly looking for comedy and looking for entertainment value? Really, I think they can get more out of her than get out of Trump. She's just a walking, walking satire. But she just broke the history of Congress. Has always been that if you have a commission or a committee, each side nominates whoever they want to be on that commission or the committee. In this case, Kevin McCarthy, who is, you know, a typical stupid party stooge, leadership. He's horrible normally, but for once he's standing up a bit. He tried to put a couple of members on there that might have asked a few questions. Thank you, All One, for he put the Ocellia.com link into the chat room. So I hope you can check it out there. But he actually had a couple of people in there, might have asked some good questions. And what happens, Lady Pelosi, she just says, no, you're not going to be on the commission. And again, this never happened before. Again, if Trump did something like that, and the media would be going nuts that you won't hear a peep out of them. And I just sit there and just look at what they're doing. They've had these people in prison for months, many in solitary confinement. Keep in mind, that doesn't happen to serial killers. And all these people, none of them were violent that were in prison. They didn't get the few violent ones because they were undercover agents. They're not interested in those. They're interested in, like, the ex-police officer armed with a tambourine, somebody like that. That's who they're interested in. Jacob says, did you see where they fired a Japanese Olympics person fired for some dumb hula hoax joke made 23 years ago? No, no, I didn't hear that. Really? Wow. Well, yeah, I think those kind of jokes probably, expiration date on them. I don't think, you know, statute of limitations. I don't think. Chris says JFK and RFK investigated Pelosi's criminal father. I know he was, you know, with the mob. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was big enough. Really, I'd like details on that. I wasn't sure of that. Well, Robofish says, great show, Don. Going to go back to listen on Paranorma app now. Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here. All One says, don't buy the distractions. Well, you know, the problem is it's 100. It's all distractions. And that's why I get caught up so much time in the racial stuff, which I don't like to do. But, you know, when you're hit over the head with it constantly that all whites are bad, and that, you know, when you're teaching little white kids that they have no that they have a privilege, and that they somehow have this original sin on them. These are horrible things. It's child abuse. And, you know, I get incensed at it. I know, of course, it's distraction, but it affects those lives. Jacob said, then he apologized after he was fired. Yeah, that, you know, that's when, obviously the Japanese are just like white people in general, but when is the first person caught in something like that going to say, F you? No, I said what I said because, you know, there's a thing called freedom of speech. I have free speech. I'm sorry you don't agree. Do you want everything you've ever said to be monitored? I disagree with a lot of stuff you said, but I'm not going to demand you be fired. When is somebody going to stop being cucked and stand up? None of these people ever do. They always apologize, and they always get fired and still get ostracized and still get called racist or whatever. Anyhow, so it does no good. I mean, wouldn't you think at some point you have a history to draw upon that you would realize this does doing this, this toadying and making a, you know, really an embarrassing yourself like that, lowering yourself and apologizing for use you have, which you say, these are my opinions. They're protected under the First Amendment, which you always are trying to eliminate, I guess. You don't like that. But freedom of speech is, you know, the backbone of America, should be, and of any free country. But instead, they apologize. They mumble some virtue signaling words, and they still get fired, and they still get thrown down the memory hole. So maybe at some point we'll get some courageous soul that won't apologize, but I don't know when that'll be. Chris said, I sent you 5 articles on Pelosi's father, Elmo. Well, if you guys see the amount of information Chris sent me, what I do, Chris, is I get to him when I can, but I bookmark them. And so I have 8 million bookmarks or something now on my computer. And when I'm working on Hidden History 3, it's so hard. I can't find half the bookmarks because, of course, I'm putting them in as I can. So I'm getting to as best I can. Then I go back. And, it's not easy. But I appreciate the amount of information you're sending me. He said he also sent me more JFK Jr., Michael Kennedy, Onassis stuff found too. And the plan B and C 9/11 plots. Cool. That's fantastic. And I really appreciate it. Okay. The masochist truther says all the truth, and the sadistic media says no. R1 says it. Thanks, Chris. I'm working on categorizing the truth. Well, I just have to sift through the bookmarks. That's all. Bam says, I have too many bookmarks. I shouldn't have you. Yeah. Well, I do too, and I had too many already before this, but I just, instead of, because what had happened is Chris is essential, because I don't know how much I'd be able to write in this book if without Chris, because I don't know what you do to do your deep searches, but when I search, and I use, I've got 6, 7, 8 different search engines, people send me, try this, and they all have Google's algorithm to one degree or another. And like I said, I still can't find, I don't think Chris has either, the Dr. Fauci direct connection to that 1986 legislation that exempted vaccine makers from lawsuits. And, they block any connection to him with that. I know he was in the center of that, but so maybe we'll find it Sunday. But that's the kind of thing, just, or anything. Like I was, David Knight, I heard David Knight talking today, as I walk around the neighborhood, a lot of times I'll listen to his podcast, or quite frankly, those are two ones I listen to a lot. And David was talking about how a former aide to Mike Pence, and he said the name too fast, so I didn't get it, was one of those who was supporting Nancy Pelosi's right to keep Jim Jordan off that committee, and said something like, would you have wanted to, would you have put one of Osama bin Laden's colleagues on the 9/11 commission or something. He's, horrible, and again, Jim Gordon, I know the guy's not perfect. Apparently he's connected to helping to look the other way when Denny Hastert was, sexually abusing wrestlers in high school, I guess. But he asked a lot of good questions. He certainly would be essential for this because, you need somebody asking the kind of questions that the Democrats aren't going to ask. But again, this is Mike Pence's, Donald Trump's vice president, one of his, the best people that he picks. How do you have that kind of an opinion of an outspoken Republican? It's just amazing to me. And but that's why they're the stupid party. Chris says, you'll probably be done, and Hidden History 3 will be out already by the time I'm categorizing is done. Yeah. But, I think I'm up to 162 or something, like page 162. I don't know. But of course I haven't even started JFK Jr. or, some of the other things that I want to do there, but I've worked a lot on Sandy Hook, Aurora, the Batman shooting, Gabby Gifford shooting. Haven't started the Boston bombing. I've done some stuff on JFK. I want to do a lot more. 9/11, I've got pretty much stuff, but I have a lot more to do too. And of course, that's 162 pages, including what I wrote about Trump, which I'm still waiting to hear from the publisher whether they would prefer that I have a separate book on Trump, which I think is probably the way to go, and then Hidden History 3, something separate. But so without the Trump thing, it's probably only 130 some pages. I don't know, but I'm not sure how many pages I did of Trump. But But Chris puts up a GIF of Jim Gordon. I had to figure you were a Gotham fan. That was a great show. The first until like the last year, it really jumped the shark. The last year of Gotham was pretty bad, but up until then it was good. And I'm sure you probably agree. The Flash I liked a lot up until, has it jumped the shark. It's barely watchable. I don't know. They took all the good actors off. The Tom Cavanaugh, who was fantastic. Why he's not on there, I don't know. And I don't know if you guys know the tall guy that played Ralph, who was Elastic Lad or whatever. He was fired from the show, and his acting career is probably over because some kind of tweets he made. I don't even know what they were. Politically incorrect, but it's just horrible. And this kind of stuff, and that's one of the most amazing things I think of what's going on now in the culture is that you see whether it's sports or entertainment, where they're willfully destroying themselves, and I don't understand that. Are they trying to collapse everything, as a lot of people think? But the movie business. I mean, Barry Diller, big time producer, he recently said, "Yeah, the movie business is dead. Will never be the same." And it's true. They're not even. When you're coming up with some ridiculous thing where you're going to have a black Superman, I mean, what, it's ridiculous. Okay, maybe you'll get a few more black people to attend, but, that's a dumb marketing decision. It's when virtue signaling is because you're going to piss off a lot more people than you attract. And the superhero movie genre anyhow. So, I mean, at some point it's going to have a saturation point. So, I mean, how many times can you reboot Spider-Man? I mean, it's within, a 10-year time period. It's crazy. So, instead of just making, maybe using the same actors and making more and more movies about it, the people will buy that, like Batman, but they'd be rebooted Batman too. And I don't understand it. And, but I have maintained for a while, the superhero movies are what's kept Hollywood alive for the last probably 20 years. Because if you take out all those big budget, Batman, Spider-Man, Superman, Justice League films, you don't have much else there. I mean, not many people are going to watch the rest of their products. All One says economic warfare worldwide to roll in electronic currency. Yeah, well, it sure seems that way, doesn't it? Chris says a white John Shaft. Damn right. Yeah, no, that'd be cultural appropriation. let's see. Uber Mensch versus Jewish in the storyline. Dron Frieson says. Bam says Krypton was the planet of black people. Oh, yeah, apparently so. I don't know. Maybe Kryptonite's black now instead of green. I don't know. Kal-El, okay, shit. I don't know. It's and sports is the same way. I don't know how many of you guys are sports fans, but the NFL is going to have every game. They're going to have the black national anthem playing with the national anthem. It's so much pandering and stupidity again that they don't care about their audience, in which case they don't apparently want to sell their product. So the NFL has already had plunging ratings in the last several years, and the attendance figures were way down before because of the ridiculous Colin Kaepernick kneeling stuff. Then you have COVID, where they close it down. I still don't, how they must have given them so much money under the table in COVID funds to get them on board with purposely, losing their profits like that. When profits are everything to these people. And for them to do that, that was pretty amazing. But they were able to do it. They convinced them to do it. And in the movie business as well, there's so few people out there protesting and saying, hey, let's stop making everything politically correct and let's come up with some original ideas. Okay, you want to have a black superhero? Then just create your own character. Why do you have to make Superman black? But that's what they're doing with everything. Let's make, I can't even keep up with all the cultural appropriation that's gone there. The main part is identity politics. But the other part is that they're just so unoriginal that they can't come up with any new ideas. So they just recycle. So it used to be for a while there, they were in recycling once really entertaining television shows like The Beverly Hillbillies and things like making awful remake movies with obviously not the same cast members and weaker scripts. But that's all they know how to do. Once they have a trend, they'll do it. So it's the few and the few movies you see. I mean, I watch I try to watch movies, but the newer ones, you know, with the whispering dialogue, which I've spoken on here, which drives me crazy. But beyond that, even one thing I've noticed, even if it's an intriguing idea, I'll get sucked into it. And then so many of them just kind of end. And I have to go online and look up the spoilers. What the hell happened? I didn't even understand that. I mean, that's, you know, it's like I don't understand why they just can't make an entertaining movie anymore, but they really can't. Jerome Frizzone says, can't you tell by Superman's name, Kal-El? Well, that's true. That's true. That's, Bam says, sports are rigged and meant for distraction, like back in Rome. We were still basically, I still want to try to get my friend Brian Toohey, who wrote the Fix Is In. He beat me to that book, but I've been talking about sports being fixed for a very long time. If you'd known me back in the 1970s, you would have been entertained by my rants on fixed sports back then. Tune out, Jacob says. Quit watching that trash. Yeah, that's probably true. Well, I watch very little, but I mean, I watch Turner Classic Movies. As long as they keep having those old movies on, I still suspect they're eventually just going to ban it because they don't want, you know, like I said, they don't want neighborhoods like mine or, you know, maybe some that you live in. They don't want reminders of the America that used to be, so people don't draw the comparisons. Chris says, I agree. I, however, do love Michael Keaton filming as Batman, Bruce Wayne, along with Ben Affleck's Batman in the Multiverse and the Flashman. Yeah, that does sound interesting. You know, Michael Keaton was one of those guys I really was skeptical when he was announced to play Batman in Tim Burton's movie. But and I still really haven't liked any of that. I think I liked Val Kilmer the best of all the Batmans. But certainly Christian Bale was good, but I think Christian Bale's a little too intense. And knowing that he's nuts in real life, I guess it adds something to the Batman character. But I don't know. Batman's a little too frightening when he's playing him. But that, you know, Burton's movie, the 89 film with Jack Nicholson, it was so great that, you know, I really didn't have too many. I can't quibble too much with Michael Keaton. No, I can quibble with George Clooney. I mean, I think we all agree he was the worst Batman, probably. Jacob says they can't afford to live where I live. Oh, right on. That's good. Well, I'm glad you. Well, they're coming for you, buddy. That's the problem. Is that, you know, we, when I walk around my peaceful neighborhood, I think, you know, God, I'm so grateful that I can walk around my neighborhood and I can hear a pin drop when I'm walking. It's wonderful. It's the epitome of peace, peaceful. And to think that there are people out there that resent that. And I understand if you're living in hectic conditions, but, you know, that has something to do with the people that are living there. Why are you making it hectic? Maybe you could try to make it. You can't make, maybe your houses won't be as nice, but maybe make it a little nicer. But again, you would need leadership there, and you'd have to have people, stop people enabling that absurd behavior and calling them out on it. And the media, especially, stop glorifying it. Make fun of it. Talk about spoofing. Can you imagine what Saturday Night Live or a good comedy program could do? Spoofing rap music in general. Blacks walking around, the kids walking around with their pants hanging off. I mean, there's, you know, the ridiculous Ebonics language. They've gotten worse and worse, more commercial. I mean, and have, you know, you could spoof black studies and gender study. I mean, there's so much you could do, but it's not allowed. So it's off limits. So you can't go after where a lot of the comedy is. They're filming cameos of Grant Gustin's Barry Allen, Michael Rosenblum's Lex Luthor, Tom Welling's Clark Kent for the Flash movie, the multi. Well, wonderful, man. That does sound good. Jacob says, what was Val Kilmer's movie where he was a high-tech thief? I don't know. Val Kilmer's very sick, by the way, I think, too. It's very sad. And he's, you know, he didn't age well. I don't know how much of that was because he was sick, but I don't know if you're talking about the movie. There was a good movie where he was like, I can't remember the name, but it was something where he was hired to kill somebody's wife or something. It was one of those when they had a lot of twists, so many twists I can't remember, but he was good. Bam says, Don, you need borders. You mean borders for a country? Yeah, I think we do need. Oh, borders. L-O-O. Oh, okay. Borders. Oh, do I need borders? Okay. I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, you know, things get so bad. You'd have to move in downstairs in my studio where I use my studio, where I'm talking to you live from downstairs right now. That's what our downstairs become. Once I had the extra bedroom down here was a library, but it's flooded out twice and, I still have everything. I've never put my books back where they should be. I still can't find half of them. I have so many of them. Jacob says, hell, I can't afford it. It's a stupid trash culture. It absolutely is that. The Saint, you're talking about the Saint movies? Yeah, those are, I watched some of those. Chris Sneakers, I'm not sure what you're talking about. All at once, too many twists will mess with your memory. Yeah, exactly. You know, so I like to be challenged. I like, but some of these modern movies, I don't think they know what the hell they're doing. And I just scratch with, what was that? What? And I literally have to go, what happened? I don't get it. Kill Me Again, Val Kilmer, Chris. That's it, Chris. Man, you are good. You're incredible. Yes, Kill Me Again. That was a real good movie. I like that. Chris says, Don, is your son still thinking you're doing shows still? Yeah, you know, I had to talk to Lucky and them about it. I think he would like to. But we have to. I think he's interested in that. So, you know, you talk about crypto and all that. The crypto thing's kind of died up. Well, I think, unfortunately, when I jumped on the bandwagon, I seem to have sent the crypto surge to a crushing halt. I certainly killed Dogecoin. Jeez. As soon as I bought, what is Dogecoin selling for now? Jeez, I mean, I thought that was ridiculous. But I don't know. I'm still looking at Chris says you enjoying the Ocelli experience. Yeah, I sent because I have people now there. I sent them a list of so many names, and it's very frustrating. Some of those names I've interviewed before, and again. There comes my persecution complex. What am I doing that these people that used to love me now don't answer me? I don't understand it. But that's the problem, is not getting the guests, because the show sounds so professional. I have the Ron Paul promo, and I'm so cool to hear Ron Paul say, this is Ron Paul, you're listening to the Donald Jeffrey Show, and John Barber's great show, talking about how wonderful I am, and Cindy Brady, Susan Olsen, showing my buddy Donald Jeffrey. I mean, those are cool. Cindy Sheehan. So I've got some great promos, so it's... And the music's very well done. I have Huey Long clips of his speeches and RFK. And the show sounds like it's, you know, it's way more than what it is, because God knows how many people are listening to it. And but, you know, I should be able to get better guests. I don't know why I haven't. People like Frank Serpico that I communicated with in the past, trying to get him. He doesn't answer me now. So I shoot high. But Chris says, what did you do, Don? Scaring the sheep? I don't know. There's so many people that I could mention them all again here that I've had on the show before. I've been on their show, and I don't know. It's like you go out with somebody and think everything goes well, and then there's no second date. I don't know what it is. So I second guess myself, and maybe it's just them. I don't know. But anyhow, we're running out of time, I'm sure. So, keep sending forth those tiny ripples of hope.